Acts chapter 19, verse 1 to 7. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, and he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, And what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, saying unto the people, that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all of the men were about 12. Now, in verse 2, let us read the text again. And he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believe? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. I want you to notice that Paul is interrogating these disciples at Ephesus. You notice he said, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believe? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now that's an important question, one that you need to be established on. That's a personal question. It's a ring question. It's a disturbing question. Suppose that a man of God would stick his finger in your nose this morning and ask you that question. Would you stagger? Would you be able to answer it? What would you be able to do? That's a heart-searching question. Has to do with the heart. And it's a question that cannot be answered unless you have. If you have been filled with the Spirit, if you have received the mighty Spirit of God, then you'll be able to answer that question. If not, you would not be able to answer that question. Now, in order to help you this morning, I want to bring a message on the Holy Ghost, who he is, and what he does. Who is the Holy Ghost? If I can take the scriptures and rightly answer that question, then I feel that you would have no trouble to believe, no trouble to be established, and no trouble to come into this present truth. All right? Who is the Holy Ghost? First, he is a person. He is not something, but he's someone. He is a person. As a person, he can be grieved. As a person, he can be quenched. As a person, he can be lied to. As a person, he can be blasphemed. As a person, he can be resisted. Now, he is a person. All through the Bible, we have the personal pronouns used by our Lord and the apostle referring to the Spirit of God. John chapter 14, verse 17, Jesus said, You know him. Not it. You know him. John chapter 16, verse 7, this is what the Lord said. I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove or convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Notice, he is a person. In the second place, who is the Holy Ghost? He is very God. He is very God. The disciples understood that the Holy Ghost was God himself in the Spirit. Acts chapter 5, verse 3 and 4, listen what Peter says to Ananias. Peter said to Ananias, "Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost?" You couldn't lie to an influence. You couldn't lie to a thing. You couldn't lie to a power. You couldn't lie to an animal. No, not in this sense. Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God, showing that Peter understood that the Holy Ghost is God, and he is very God. We notice that he is in the baptismal formula. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 to 20. Jesus said, "Go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost." Notice, not in the names. There's only one God in the Godhead, but there is a plurality of titles in the Godhead. Baptize in the name of the Father. Baptize in the name of the Son. Baptize in the name of the Holy Ghost. See, these names are titles. They're not three persons in the Godhead. No, you don't have three gods. You have only one God. And Jesus Christ is that one God. Jesus Christ is God as Father. He's God as Son. And he's God as the Holy Ghost. And he always will be God. Jesus Christ has got to be God. Or he's the biggest apostate and the biggest deceiver that's ever walked the face of this earth. He said he was God. Now, did he tell the truth or tell a lie? He accepted a human worship. He did right or he did wrong. He said he came down from heaven, said, "I'm going back to heaven." He took all of the mighty titles of God himself. And we notice that Jesus Christ was God in human form. He's God walking in the streets. He is God as Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 3:17, said, "Now the Lord is that Spirit." Who's the Lord? That's Jesus. He is Lord. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And the word Spirit is capitalized, showing it's the Holy Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Well, the whole triune God is involved in salvation. I pointed out to you some time ago in a message that in the book of Ephesians, you have, it's a book of redemption. In the book of Ephesians, it said that God the Father chose a people, that God the Son redeemed that people, and God the Holy Ghost will quicken and regenerate and bring that people to Christ, showing that the Godhead is involved in the matter of salvation. So the Holy Ghost is very God. He's in the baptismal formula. Not only that, but he is in the apostolic benediction. You know, the apostolic benediction was used by the apostles in the dismissing of their congregation or in the closing out of most of the epistles. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The Apostle Paul, in this apostolic benediction, includes the mighty triune God. He said, "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all." Now you have grace coming from Jesus, have love coming from God, and you have communion coming from the Holy Ghost. He is the only one that can enable you to commune with God the Father and with God the Son. All right, not only that, but the Holy Ghost is the third person in the Godhead. We have that in Matthew 28:18-20. Baptize in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost. He is the third person in the Godhead. Now, because he is the third person, doesn't mean that he's the inferior part of the Godhead. No, the Holy Ghost is as much of God as God is and that Christ is. And so they're all equal in the Godhead. And remember, there is no jealousy in the Godhead. I can bygone Jesus and the Holy Ghost won't be jealous. I can bygone the Holy Ghost and Jesus won't be jealous. And neither will the Father. They're all one in the Godhead. But remember that the Holy Ghost is the neglected member of the Godhead. Now, isn't it strange that we hear a lot today about God? Hear a lot today about Christ, and that's wonderful, and we should. But isn't it strange that we hear nothing about the Holy Ghost? He is absolutely the neglected member of the Godhead. You go to 90% of all Christians. Ask them, do you know the Holy Ghost? No, sir. You know Christ? Yes. You know God? Yes. But now, are you listening to me? The only way you can know Christ is in the Holy Ghost. And the only way you know God is in Christ. All of it is involved in the mighty triune God. Not only that, the Holy Ghost is not only a person. He not only very God, but he is a power. Now, he doesn't give you power. The Holy Ghost himself is the power of God. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. See, the Holy Ghost is a power. He is the mighty power of God. And the power of God, the power of the Holy Ghost, is the Holy Ghost taking possession of you. Takes possession of your eyes, of your lips, of your heart, of your feet, of your hand. Taking complete control of you. And when he does, you are to be a witness. Now, what is a witness? A witness is a person who knows something. A person who is able to tell what he knows, and a person that only is to talk when he's called on. You're not to but know everybody you see, not unless the Holy Ghost tells you to. You and I are witnesses, and a witness is never to talk till he's called on. Did you ever go in a courthouse and watch the courts proceed? The procedure of courts, the jury is impaneled, judge charges the jury. Then the clerk of the court will swear in the witnesses. All right, now here they are. They're never to talk till they're called on. And they call for the witness, come around. Come around, Jim Jones, to take a witness stand. Well, he takes a witness stand, what can he tell? He can only tell what he knows. He's got to be an eyewitness. Got to be on the scene when the thing took place that he's been witness to. He gets on the witness stand, and the lawyer would say, now, you saw this fight? You saw this man get killed? Well, I heard about you. Can't tell that. I read in the paper. You can't tell that. I heard my mother and father talking about you. Can't tell that. Do you know anything? Were you an eyewitness? Were you there when this man got killed that we're trying here in the courts? Well, if you're an eyewitness, you can talk and tell what you know. But you cannot tell what you don't know any more than you cannot come where you haven't been. Now, the Holy Ghost is a power. He gives us power to pray, gives us power to preach, and it gives us power to bear witness. You are a witness, either a good witness or a bad witness. And that's the purpose of the Holy Ghost, is to equip us to bear witness. And we are to bear witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You shall, I never saw him after he rose from the dead. Well, you ever get filled with the Spirit of God, then the Holy Ghost can bear witness to you of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, make Christ real to you, a living, loving Lord, come in the person of the Holy Ghost to live on the inside of you and to enthrone Christ upon the throne of your heart. Well, in the fourth place, who is the Holy Ghost? He is a presence. He is the only one that can make the presence of God and the presence of Christ real to you, and he is a presence. In Exodus chapter 33 and verse 14, Moses in this text here, in this chapter, is greatly disturbed. He disturbed about the nation of Israel. Moses said, "Is this your nation? Are these your people?" And then he got disturbed even about himself. Said, "Lord, have I found grace in thy sight?" Here's a wonder. Got a hold of that Israelitish nation, a backslid army in the wilderness. Moses got disturbed. And he really got to questioning whether that was God's nation or not, whether that was God's people or not. Then he even questioned himself, "Am I your prophet? Have I found grace in your sight?" Now, God must manifest his presence to Moses and to let Moses know something. So listen what God's answer to Moses was. Exodus 33, 14 and 15, listen. He said, "My presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." You see, the presence of God guarantees the will of God, guarantees your protection, guarantees your perseverance, or it guarantees your provision. If you are conscious of the presence of God, then you know you're in the will of God. And if you're conscious of the presence of God, then you'll be able to relax and be able to rest. "My presence shall go with thee, and I'll give thee rest." Then Moses never questioned God anymore. And Moses said unto God, "If thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence." God, I don't want to go anywhere that I cannot feel your presence. Isaiah chapter 63 and verse 14, it says, "The Spirit of the Lord caused him to rest." You see, only the Spirit of God can cause you to rest. I come to the next place. Who is the Holy Ghost? He is a witness. Now, as a witness, he bears witness to five things. I want you to listen now and hear me and see if the Holy Ghost is bearing witness to you of five things. First, he bears witness to Calvary. Holy Ghost is the only living witness to Calvary. The rest of them are all dead. Remember that the 12 apostles were there when our Lord died, except Judas Iscariot. Matthias came on the scene to take his place. But all of these witnesses are dead. But the Holy Ghost is not dead. The Holy Ghost was there when they crucified my Lord. Hebrews 9:14, it said, "Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God." The Holy Ghost was there when the Son of God suffered and bled and was suspended between the earth and heaven, bleeding and dying. Holy Ghost was right there, and Christ uttered seven sayings at the cross, seven of them. And the Holy Ghost moved upon the apostles, and they recorded all seven of the sayings of our Lord. So he bears witness to Calvary. Second, he bears witness to our sonship. You wonder if you're saved or not? Well, remember, the Holy Ghost bears witness to our sonship. Every individual that God saves gives him a new heart, a new spirit, and a new song, enthrones Christ upon the throne of his heart, and the Holy Ghost comes in with Jesus when he comes into your heart and life to bear witness to you. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. See? You can call God your Father and tell the truth when the Holy Ghost comes in and does for you what only the Holy Ghost can do. Romans chapter 8, verse 16, said the Spirit himself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, you cannot know you're saved only but by the Holy Ghost himself. See, he's a witness. The Bible is a record, not a witness. Holy Ghost is a living person, a living witness, God himself, coming in to enthrone Christ upon the throne of your heart. 1 John chapter 5, verse 10, said, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. See, you don't need to ask anybody whether you're saved or not. Preacher's got no business to tell you you're saved. That's the work of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost will bear witness to you when Christ is enthroned upon the throne of your heart. And if he hasn't borne witness to you, then it simply means that he is not that, because he is a living witness. There is the third thing that the Holy Ghost bears witness to. He bears witness to our sanctification. Have you been sanctified and filled with the Spirit of God? If so, the Holy Ghost bears witness to your filling of the Spirit, bears witness to the resurrection of Christ, bears witness to your sonship, bears witness to these mighty eternal inward truths that we are sorely in need to be established of today. Hebrews chapter 10, 14 and 15, is offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. Now, how would you know whether you're saved or not? But you know you fill the Spirit. How do you know that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? How do you know he's in heaven right now, seated at God's right hand? Well, the only way you know that is by the Holy Ghost. He is a witness. Not only that, but the Holy Ghost is a witness to the Scriptures. How do you know this Bible is the inspired Word of God? Well, the man that wrote the Bible is the Holy Ghost. He is the author of the Scriptures, he's the interpreter of the Scriptures, and he's the only one that can bear witness to you that this Bible is a living book. Not written by man, written by God himself, by the Holy Ghost. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, said all Scripture, notice, all of it, all of the Old Testament, all of the New Testament, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That word inspiration in the Greek is thesaneustos, thesaneustos. And that word means God breathed, theanoustos, the God word, and it's breathed by God himself, and it is God's book. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. See, that's the way you got the Old Testament, that's the way you got the New Testament, and if you do not have the Holy Ghost, man that wrote the Bible, living on the inside of you, then you don't know whether the Bible is inspired or not. That's the reason that the infidels and atheists, agnostics, have a great trouble with the Word of God. It's nothing but cold print to them, because the one who wrote it does not live on the inside. I've written a few books, several pamphlets, done a little writing in my life, and I'm the only person that has a right to tell you what I meant in the writing of the book. You have no right. You can read my books. And you can say, well, he said this, he said that, he meant this, and he meant that. but I'm the only person in the world that has a right to tell you what I meant. Now, the Holy Ghost is the only person in the world has a right to tell you what the Scriptures mean. And if you're in the same spirit that the apostles in when they wrote the Bible, then the Holy Ghost is able to tell you. Acts chapter 1, we're told that the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. You like that? The Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake. There is the fifth thing that the Holy Ghost bears witness to. He bears witness to Jesus. You'll never know who Jesus Christ is unless the Holy Ghost himself bears witness to you. The only way that the apostles, the disciples, knew who Jesus was is that they had a revelation from God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, telling them who Jesus was. You remember in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13 down to verse 18, very interesting conversation. Jesus said to the disciples, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Well, they said, "Some think you're Isaiah, some think you're Jeremiah, one of the prophets." They don't know who you are. That's human reasoning. See? And that can only go so far. All right. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Peter, whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now, how did Peter know that? He couldn't bear witness to that until the Holy Ghost revealed to him. Then in Matthew 16:17, Jesus said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." That is, the Holy Ghost revealed in the heart of Peter exactly who Jesus was. And that's the only way you can know who he is. The Holy Ghost gives a supernatural revelation, a supernatural light to let you know who Christ is. Until he reveals to you who Jesus is, then you have no way of knowing who he is, and you cannot trust an unrevealed person. See, you must be convicted of sin. God must grant you repentance. He must grant you faith. Then God must reveal to your poor, darkened heart who Jesus Christ is. When he does, then you can believe. You can lay hold of Christ. John chapter 15, verse 26 and 27. Listen what the promise the Lord made to the disciples concerning the coming of the Spirit. Jesus said, "But when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me." See, the Holy Ghost is a living witness to the death of Christ, to the Scriptures, to your sonship, to your sanctification, and he is the only one that can bear witness to that. Then he said, "The Holy Ghost, when he's come, he will testify of me, he bear witness of me, and ye also shall bear witness." There isn't any way for you to bear witness to your salvation until you're saved, and the Holy Ghost giving you the power, the revelation, and the ability to tell what you know. In the next place, who is the Holy Ghost? He is the seal. Now, we are told in the Scriptures that the Holy Ghost seals us. He doesn't seal us with something. He himself is the seal. And seal in the Bible symbolizes ownership and secrecy and protection. So when God saves a man, he seals that individual. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and in verse 19. "Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. See, when God saved you, he sealed you. That is, he gave you the indwelling spirit. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 and 14, it says, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Remember, the Holy Ghost himself is the seal, which is the earnest of our inheritance. That word earnest means a down payment. When the Lord comes, then we receive all of the Spirit, and our salvation will be complete. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, for by you of return. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 20, he which is with you, Christ, and anointed us, is God, who all sealed us and given us of the Spirit in our hearts. So we are seeing now who the Holy Ghost is. Does that help you to relax and to have faith and to surrender completely to the Holy Ghost as your guard, as your guest, as your guide, as your teacher? The only one that can guide you and to lead you and to move you on. And remember that the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. John chapter 14, verse 16, Jesus said, I will pray the Father, and he'll give you another Comforter, which will abide for you with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. John chapter 15, verse 26, but the Comforter, whom I will send unto you from the Father. You see, Christ is second person in the Godhead. He came, he redeemed us, and the Holy Ghost took him back to heaven. He enthroned him in heaven at God's right hand as a prophet, priest, and king. He is now reigning in his mediatorial reign. He's reigning now in his spiritual reign. He'll reign in his literal reign when he comes again. So the Holy Ghost proceeds from the Father and the Son. John 14:26. He said, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. Isn't that wonderful? You don't have to rely upon a professor, upon your pastor, upon a Sunday school teacher. If you're a child of God, God saved you, he sealed you, Holy Ghost indwells you to protect you, to guide you, and to lead you. And remember that God has put the schoolhouse, the textbook, and the teacher on the inside of you. And you need to recognize that and need to know it. That doesn't mean that some man of God couldn't open up the scriptures and couldn't help you and guide you in the Bible, but in the final analysis, you must be taught by the Holy Ghost himself. And remember that nobody will be saved unless his heart is touched by the Holy Ghost in regeneration. How are you going to be saved? Salvation is not by decision. Salvation is not by proposition. Salvation is not by persuasion. No, salvation is of the Lord. And the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost alone can save you, and it does it by the touch of regeneration. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 26, and Saul also went home to Gibeah. There were both with him a band of men whose hearts God had touched. See, God touched their hearts. When God touches the heart, he opens the heart. He regenerates, gives you a new heart, new spirit, new song, makes you a new creature. Acts chapter 16, verse 14, it said, Lydia, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended on the things which are spoken of Paul. Until God the Holy Ghost opens your heart, lets the light of God shine in, Then you'd never be saved. You wouldn't pray. You wouldn't call on the Lord. You would never move in salvation until God the Holy Ghost quickens you, makes you alive, and opens your heart, grants you repentance, and creates faith in your heart. Then it is, and then only, can you be saved and come to a knowledge of Christ. Remember, nobody can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, you can say Jesus is the Lord by your spirit, I mean by your lips, but what's that way? Every devil in the hell and out of hell, the devil himself knows that Jesus is the Lord. And in Matthew 7:22, we're told that the false prophets say they profess to have prophesied in the name of Jesus, said, "We've cast out devils in his name, we've done many wonderful works," and they said, "Lord, Lord." But that's only a lip thing. Only you can say that Jesus is the Lord from your heart in the sense of salvation when the Holy Ghost makes that possible. 1 Corinthians 12:3. No man, that's total inability, no man, no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. How are you going to say that Jesus is the Lord in the sense of salvation, in the sense of calling upon the Lord in repentance and faith? You can only do that by the Holy Ghost. In the next place, remember, without the Holy Ghost, the Scriptures are no more than cold print. This Bible is the deadest, coldest thing you ever read in your life, unless the Holy Ghost will make it alive to you. No one can say the Scriptures are inspired of God, and the Scriptures are no more than cold print until of the Holy Ghost breathes upon you and breathes upon this book. Here is where the scribes missed it. Here's where the Pharisees missed it. Here's where the priests missed it. Here's where the Sadducees missed it. They did not have the Spirit of God. They had a profession. They had a tree, but only leaves, no fruit on it. 2 Corinthians 3:5-6. We are told that our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. You preach in this Bible without the Holy Ghost, you kill everybody in your congregation. You're preaching truth without the Spirit, and that can only make Pharisees out of people. John 6:63, Jesus said, "It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing." Don't make any difference, educated flesh, men with all kind of degrees, it's still flesh. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are Spirit, and they are life, until God the Holy Ghost makes this Bible a living book and breathes upon it. It's no more than cold print. Then there's something else to remember. Remember that no one was ever filled with the Holy Ghost who did not know he had been filled. If you're listening to me, and you don't know whether you've been filled with the Spirit of God or not, then you've not been filled. No one ever was filled with the Holy Ghost who did not know. And no one was ever filled with the Holy Ghost who did not know when he was filled. Now, you may not remember the time and the place, but you remember when you were filled with the Spirit of God. You may forget the place, I doubt that. But you can never forget the place and the time that you were filled with the Spirit of God. Somebody would say to the disciples, "Have you been filled with Spirit?" "Yes." "Where were you filled?" "In Jerusalem, in the upper room." "When?" "When the Holy Ghost came on the day of Pentecost." John chapter 14, verse 20, Jesus said at that day. That day is Pentecost. At that day ye shall know. See? Know what? That I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost enthroned Jesus as Lord upon the hearts of 120. They were filled with the Spirit of God, and they knew now that Jesus had landed in heaven. They knew that Jesus was in the Father. They knew that Jesus was in them, and they were in Christ. They knew that by infallible assurance that the Holy Ghost alone can give. Not only that, but remember that no one was ever filled gradually. I hear a lot of talk about that today. Well, we're saved gradually. That isn't so. Regeneration is in a moment, as quick as lightning, when God touches your spirit and regenerates you. And the filling of the Spirit is suddenly, never gradually. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. He said, the Lord whom you seek shall suddenly come to his temple. On the day of Pentecost, he came to his temple, and the temple there was the bodies of men and women who had been redeemed. And he came suddenly. Acts chapter 2 and verse 2, it said, suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Not only that, something else to remember. Remember, the man who hopes to be filled gradually will never be filled at all. Never in this world will you be filled gradually. You're filled suddenly, like a cyclone sweeping down young timber in its path. Now that's the crisis filling. But remember, there's a process filling. Now the process filling will, and in all probability, come gradually. But the crisis filling is never repeated, and it's never gradual. It's always sudden. The mighty upon baptism of the Spirit that fills men with the Spirit of God does not come gradually, but he's filled suddenly like a cyclone sweeping down young Tim in its path. And remember, the man who does not know when he was filled was never filled. Though, of course, it's possible to forget the date. I remember when I was filled with the Spirit. I remember the place where I was filled with the Spirit. I forgot the date. The date is not important. But it is important to know when I was filled and where I was filled. That helps to establish me. Not only that, but remember that no one was ever filled with the Holy Ghost without first having gone through a period of deep soul disturbance and inward turmoil. That's always the case. These people that have never waded through a deep period of disturbance and turmoil, inward turmoil, was never filled with the Spirit of God. Psalms chapter 42 and verse 2, it said, my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. That's inward thirst, inward turmoil, great period of disturbance, of soul disturbance. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 3, I will pour water upon him that is thirsty. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsting to be filled with the Spirit? Do you thirst for the knowledge of God? Do you thirst for the wisdom of God? Do you thirst for deep understanding of the Scriptures and of the mighty things of God? Then we are told, blessed is he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness, for he shall be filled. Here is something else that God wants you to remember. He wants you to remember that often some form of healing takes place when one is filled with the Holy Ghost. There are a lot of people that need some form of healing. Well, when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, often, not every time, often, some form of healing takes place when you're filled with the Spirit. There's a demon of alcoholism. That's a sick person, and they need to be healed. There's a demon of criticism. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, all criticism is gone. There's a demon of sex perversion. When you're filled with the Holy Ghost, then you need to be healed in that sense and need to be delivered. There's a demon of unnatural lust. Remember, back of every unnatural lust is a demon. That demon is moving to bring you to the house of death and destroy your testimony and your influence. Not only that, there's a demon of doubt and dumbness. You remember in Luke chapter 1, we have mighty picture there of Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist. He had a demon of doubt and a demon of dumbness. And he was healed of that when he was filled with the Spirit. Read Luke chapter 1. You'll find that he got a demon of doubt, a demon of dumbness, right in the house of God, right at the altar where he was officiating for the Lord. But in 9 months later, that dumb devil had to get out. That dumb demon got out, and that demon of doubt. And Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, do you know the Holy Ghost? Have you been filled with the Spirit? Have you been born again? Is Jesus your Lord?